Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone who has joined. We'll just be starting the talk in a few minutes. Thank you for joining. Hello, namaste, and welcome to all of you. A very good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone who is joining here for this talk on yoga, the union with the divine, with Dr. Hansaji Yogendra. In a week's time, we will all be celebrating the 6th International Yoga Day, and we are so glad that Dr. Hansaji has agreed to come and grace this platform. Awakened Talks is, as you all know, a platform to talk and have conversation with change makers who work on the axis of the inner and the outer work. That is, in whichever sphere of their body of work might be in the outside world, these change makers are always also working on the inner axis of inner transformation. So thank you all for joining us in this spirit, and I would request all of us to be in a minute of silence so that we could anchor ourselves in the present moment. Welcome, Rachel, to this Awakened Talks. And this is a great way to roll. So thank you so much for joining across the world, Rachel. It's past midnight there as we talk, and I'm so glad that I have a co-moderator in you for today's talk with Dr. Hansa Yogendra. And once again, a warm welcome to everyone on this talk with Dr. Hansa Yogendra. And as we wait for Hansaji to join on this call, I would like to briefly introduce my co-host Rachel. And while Rachel is from Cincinnati, Ohio, in a family that is rooted in arts and culture, she was born and was comfortable in understanding that life is lived from multiple perspectives. In her 20s, she went for a 10-day Vipassana course, which in a way was very transformative for her. And that led to her coming back to India for a trip or a yatra, pilgrimage with S.N. Goenka and almost 1,000 other meditators to various pilgrimage sites. And that experience was again unforgettable for her to keep coming back to India for many years to come. And she did sit a lot of Vipassana courses, especially in the center at Kutch, where she discovered joy and gratitude of service. Rachel's introduction to Yoga Institute came in that time period when she was experiencing some painful relationships in her life. And the teacher training program helped her establishing a physical discipline that would in turn help in establishing boundaries in her relationship. So that's something which she really cherishes as a gift from the Yoga Institute. And she landed up spending almost a decade there, decade plus there, volunteering. Apart from the Yoga Institute, Rachel's time in India, she's more Indian, I would say, an Indophile and an Indian than, or a Mumbaiker, more of a Mumbaiker than I am, because she knows the deep recesses of the suburban Mumbai, especially Santa Cruz, where the Yoga Institute is located. And apart from her experience at Yoga Institute, she volunteered at a place in Madhya Pradesh, where Ulrike was setting up a skateboard in a small village called Janwar. So that again was, you know, a sort of a transformation. If any one of you have heard of that place in Janwar, a small village in the interiors of Madhya Pradesh, where a German middle-aged lady came and transformed that place. So Rachel has been in some ways an Indophile, and I'm so glad that her association with the Yoga Institute is helping her, helping us, all of us, get access to Dr. Hansa Yogendra's time just 7 to 8 days before the International Yoga Day. And Hansaji, it is such a pleasure that you are here with us today. Thank you so much for sparing time for Awakened Talks. Awakened Talks, like I was sharing, is a platform for us to talk with change makers who are not just active in the outside world, but they are also active seekers in their own inner ways and are on the path to inner transformation. So that's what we value about our guests, that they are able to span their journeys, not just in the outer world, but also in the inner world. And a brief line of introduction about Service Space before we slip into a minute of silence is that Service Space, in a way, the organizer of Awaken Talks platform, is a community of volunteers from across the globe, which come together in the spirit of, if you want to change the world, then you got to start with changing yourself, which, as I understand, is also the spirit of yoga and the essence of yoga. So thank you so much, Hansaji, for joining us. And I'm so glad that we have someone like Rachel who has spanned both the worlds and volunteered both for Service Space as well as the Yoga Institute for an extended period of time. And we are glad that this is happening after a while. So thank you, Hansaji. We will slip into a minute of silence, and we have a little surprise from you, from our volunteer from Vadodara. At the end of this few seconds of silence, I would invite Truthi, who is herself a yoga student and someone who, along with her sister, has completed the Narmada Parikrama, which is walking around the Narmada River without money for 6 months. So I would invite Truthi to offer the song, which is Hansaji's favorite, composed by her, at the end of a few seconds of silence. Thank you very much.
Sab mangal ho, sab mangal ho, sab mangal, mangal, mangal ho. सब मंगल हो सब मंगल हो सब मंगल 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 हो नभ मंगल हो जल मंगल हो नभ मंगल हो जल मंगल हो पृथ्वी का कण कण मंगल हो पृथ्वी का कण कण मंगल हो सब मंगल हो सब मंगल हो सब मंगल 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 हो चित मंगल हो मति मंगल हो चित मंगल हो मति मंगल हो व्यक्ति का क्षण क्षण मंगल हो व्यक्ति का क्षण क्षण मंगल हो सब मंगल हो सब मंगल हो सब मंगल 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 हो सब मंगल 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 हो सब मंगल 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 हो
Thank you very much, Truthi, for the offering. Again, a warm welcome to everyone. A warm welcome to Hansaji. I'll briefly introduce Hansaji, although very little is unknown about her, but I'll still attempt that Hansaji represents a lineage of yogic gurus, starting from Paramahansa Madhavdas, who was born in the last decade of 18th century, onwards to the Yogendra family in which she was married into. The asceticism of Sri Yogendra, householder yogi, his wife Sita Devi, and then their son, Dr. Jaydev Yogendra, who inspired thousands with his simplicity and erudition, onwards to the smiling, motherly persona of Hansaji, the Yoga Institute shines light on yoga in this day and age. It is the oldest school systematically disseminating the education around yoga. It's almost 103 years old. Hansaji was born in privilege the city of Indore, and later she moved on. Her family was in Mumbai, where she was schooled in an English medium school. Somewhere in her primary school, she moved to a Gujarati medium school based on Gandhian principles, where swadhyay and self-discipline were the norm. But from the age of 12, it was quite natural for her to sit in yogic positions for long periods of time without distraction. Interestingly, during her college days, her asthma problems brought her to the Yoga Institute. One thing led to another, and she married Dr. Yogendra. They are quite different personalities. Hansaji was articulate, and whereas Dr. Jaydev Yogendra was reticent. Hansaji was the accessible public face. You might have seen her in the early days in Doordarshan, whereas the erudite doctor was happy to remain unknown in the small corner of his world. As Pandit Shiv Kumar Sharma says about Dr. Jaydev, he always used to say, less is more. You know, if one sentence would suffice, he would not speak two. And yet, despite their differences, because the sutra, the common thread of yoga, and of course the yoga sutras themselves bound them together, they came to be known amongst their students as the divine pairing of Purusha and Prakriti. Hansaji's emphasis on spreading yoga education goes far beyond the standard definition of yoga. In fact, the Yoga Institute has spread the net far and wide, especially to impact the lives of women by starting special programs for women on pregnancy, prenatal, postnatal camps, the menopause women's camp, also for a variety of people across, like senior citizens, factory workers, call center staff. There would be special camps for special children, for police, for prison staff. And of course, Hansaji is herself having a thriving web presence where you will find her talk about various ailments like diabetes, asthma, back pain, and whatnot. The Yoga Institute has been the forefront of creating a front line of teachers. Almost 100,000 yoga teachers have come out of the portals of Yoga Institute since the early 1950s. And amongst them, there are celebrity, in a way, students, as well as I would say that most people who are yoga teachers have some or the other connect with the Yoga Institute. Apart from that, Yoga Institute also engages in Annam Brahma, which is distribution of food amongst the lesser privileged. A science and a law graduate by education, Hansaji is also trained herself in classical singing, Kathak, and she also plays the sitar. Of course, she also plays Kabaddi, is what we hear. So this is a warm welcome to you, Hansaji, on the topic of yoga union with the divine. You have always said, in fact, in the yogic etymology, Hansa means the symbol of the soul, you know, the Vivek, which actually chooses between Nira and Kshira. And you say that between, in the ABCD of life, between the B, which is birth, and D, which is death, there is C, which is a choice that all of us have to make. This power of choice lies in our hands. So in some sense, your entire life, your name, as well as your life, stands for this unique choice that you've made to say yes to life, to, in a way, unite in body, with nature, with the divine. So thank you for making time for this conversation, and I welcome you here.
It's so nice to hear you. Now you have spoken so much about me. It was nice that you know about all these things. And let's begin. How do we go about Rachel? I'm very glad to see you here.
Namaste, Hansaji.
Namaste,
so
nice. Nice. After a long time, yeah. 2 years. Yeah.
Too long.
Yes. So
I would say, Hansaji, that I was tutored by Rachel, and I had the chance of meeting Mrs. Desai at the institute.
Okay, so, you had come to the institute.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was great that Rachel and your team facilitated these meetings for us to have a sort of a small window to see what the Yoga Institute
you
is.
Could feel even, you could see, even see Mrs. Desai. I can call her here.
We want to just converse with you over the next
let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. So you would ask the question, we'll be able to continue.
Yes.
Yeah, please,
and,
go ahead.
We want to first start with, let's say, some questions from your childhood. Like I mentioned in the introduction, that you moved in your primary school from an English medium school to a school which is, you know, educated in the Gujarati medium.
Yes.
And it was run on Gandhian principles.
True.
For someone like you who was brought up in privilege, you had to cook your own food, cut your own vegetables and clean dishes and so on. So how was this transition as a child? Did you choose this or was this, you know, how did you respond to this? And which were the values were inculcated?
You see, in our Indian cultures, parents, they take full charge of child. Child is not given any freedom to think in any case. And child has no wisdom to think. It's always better that parents should take charge. And my father suddenly decided, because in convent school, it was co-ed school. And it was, education was done in a different way. And one day I saw one father who was hitting with a cane to a boy in his leg, in his calf muscle, and boy would jump with pain and he would hit him because he must have done something stupid, no doubt. So when I saw that scene, I came and told my father that I don't want to be in this school. I just, you take me away. I don't like this. So of course that father he never touched any girls, but maybe something must have happened. So that was my one reaction, that this violence is absolutely wrong and I can't accept it. And my father believed that what I say, I mean it. I was very adamant in certain cases. So father was searching which school would be ideal school. And then he found this school, but it was in Gujarati medium. And my mother tongue was Hindi. We are from Indore. My mother is from Indore. I'm born and brought up in Bombay. But so we decided what to do. And he took an admission there and they were very glad to have me. I was very good in all extracurricular activities also. Studies was a one little thing, but dancing, music, singing, as you all put it across. And it was a multifarious personality. So in that school, they said that this is one area, but personality internally also has to be different. So they were following Gandhian principle school, where the school was cleaned by children. Entire class would be cleaning the school. Entire class would be cleaning the toilets. Class would be keeping the road, which goes to the school, also clean. So this, which I had never taken spoon in my hand, or I didn't wash a spoon, I started doing that. But a child, when all others are doing, you just flow with situation and you start liking it. I loved it, that school, entire school thing. And I was very glad. Holiday also, I would feel that, no, I'll go to school to practice one dance or something. So this is how my journey went. And what was very, very strong in my personality was singing Bhagavad Gita, the Gita. And we used to spin, because it was Gandhian school. So we used to spin the cotton and make a thread out of it. And when that becomes quite big bundle, then we make a cloth out of it. And then that cloth, we stitch some clothes out of it. And my father has stitched his undergarments out of the cloth which I have spinned. So it was quite a thing. And we were wearing cotton only, means khadi. Khadi was compulsory. So this is how my schooling went. And that Bhagavad Gita had a very strong impact in my mind. And the prayer and very special bhajans, which is talking not about praise of God, but it is talking more about self-development, that you should not speak lies or you should not do you know, hurt others, or you should uplift yourself and you should help others and so on and so forth. So all this atmosphere created a strong impression on me. Of course, after that, went to college and university and all that. So that was sidelined. But then when I was in the Yoga Institute, that propped up again in my personality. And so I decided to marry a personality like Dr. Jaydev, who was, of course, much elder to me. But age doesn't matter. What matters is the whole subconscious, what subconscious is full of. And both of us were very much focusing on goal. Goal was very much clear to see that the humanity is helped, because there is lots of ignorance in the world. Yoga is the science which would help everybody. And so to see that we start teaching, we start helping others and so on. So both of us started. There was absolutely oneness together and there was no problem at all.
That's great to hear about your journey at Gandhian School and then kind of dovetailing into the Yoga Institute. And you mentioned about how your views about the spread of yoga or the essence of yoga and how it should spread match so well with Dr. Jaydev. And I had a question there. As one reads into the literature of how yoga spread, let's say in the span of the last 100 years,
yes,
there have been different schools. A few of them have propagated, the emphasis on the asanas.
Body part, yeah.
Body part and so on, the vinyas and so on. Whereas Yoga Institute has looked at it in a way, as a way of life.
Correct.
Or a state of mind.
Correct.
And that has been in a way. Yeah, please go ahead.
Whatever we do in our life, only at theoretical level, anything done makes no sense at all. You are just increasing your head and repeating it to the world. That doesn't go. According to us, what was required was application of knowledge in your life. Whatever knowledge you get in your life, let it be physics or mathematics or chemistry or whatever it is. And of course, yoga. How are you uplifting your life because of that knowledge? That matters. And both of us were thinking. And then what happened was, yoga is a very big science. It deals with psychology, human mind, how it works and how it is supposed to work. It talks about philosophy. What should be purpose and goal of your life? That should be purpose and goal of every action you do in life. You go to study. If you remember that why you are going to college for study, the purpose, then you will not go here and there. Then love affair and heartbreak and suicide and all that will not come only into the picture. You would go to study. Purpose is clear. Or you get married, purpose is clear. Or you want a child, purpose is clear. So every time that purpose has to be kept in mind, and that's philosophy. So yoga deals with psychology, philosophy, and this asana pranayama is nothing else but technology part, the techniques. All these techniques help you to understand psychology and philosophy. And so we should try and see that at the Yoga Institute, we found that at the Yoga Institute, we should teach yoga as a whole, holistic. In our life, let me tell you, Rahul, we suffer more at physical level? Hardly. You fall down, you get a pain for some time, then you get better. But we do suffer at psychological level, quite a lot, mental level. Somebody behaved rudely, you are hurt. The work is not done correctly, you are angry. And so on, so forth. Life is full of all these things. So we are supposed to deal with our mind more than the body. And so we made it clear at the Yoga Institute that we will be teaching yoga where give equal emphasis on mind, on body, and on interpersonal management of life, application of life, yoga into life. And so we gave importance to the householdership. Because householders are those, not like hatha yogis, sadhus, sannyasis, who have enough time to twist and turn their body. And even if they get some pain and pull, they have time to manage that. Householders have no time for themselves. They have to do good amount of work for others, for family, for society, for nation. Even all sadhus, sannyasis are dependent on householder. Householder is the main thing of our society, main pillar of the society. So we decided to teach yoga for householders. Householder doesn't mean married, not married. You are living in the society, doing something for the society. And that's what we decided. So we are teaching yoga for that, for such people who should remain healthy, fit, fine, whose body should be capable, flexible, and stamina should be strong, immunity should be strong, should not get sick. Sickness should be thrown out as fast as possible. So in the institute, we work hard to see that, first of all, sickness is out. Anybody who comes to the institute, we see to it that the sickness is thrown out first. So we help person to get into that state where we teach them how to go about with their health problems, and they get better. Heart patients, diabetics, asthmatic, orthopedic problems, migraine, headache, anything, you name any disease, yoga can really help you to see that you do your part well. If you need the help of doctor, you'll need, but that would be a temporary help. You will get stronger and doctor also will remove the medicines. So this is how we go about at the institute, and then training the mind. Without training the mind, you can't remove your disease, because mind interferes a lot with body. Mentally, if you are angry, all the part of your body are going to get affected because of that. Every organ in your body, and concentration, memory, everything also will go bad. And so we have to train right from the beginning, the mind, how to live so that your mind doesn't get imbalanced, how you could maintain balance throughout life. All that we teach at the institute.
There is an aspect you threw light on. You mentioned, you know, about how yoga is a very important tool in the hands of a householder, and how householder in turn is in a way at the center of the society, playing a crucial role. In the book On the Call of Yoga, one of your yoga teachers was resisting marriage, and you asked him that you should do it to improve a soul, and he told you that I'm already improving a lot of souls. And I believe you told him, I'm talking about your soul, not the soul of your, you know, life partner. So in some sense, relationships are mirrors to us, you know, and how we are, whether we are living the values that we have accepted verbally, actually in our life, experientially, we are living or not. So would you throw light on, and you know, you come from a tradition of householder yogis, Dr. Yogendra and Mother Sita Devi, yourself, and Dr. Jaydev, now onwards to Rishiji and so on. So could you throw some light on how yoga gives some jadi bhuti to this, you know, relationship? Because close relationships are a big test of our values.
See, first of all, as long as person is living alone, on his own, he does what he wants to do. If something goes wrong, he handles his situation and so on. When he joins his hands with somebody, he starts thinking about that person. Automatically, he becomes selfless. Not too much for me, but for others. When you have a child, you are totally selfless. Your whole life is rotating around child. When you have all the relations, you are thinking about them. You start helping them, caring for them. You are concerned about their ups and downs. You do whatever you can do to help each other out. Because love and charity, both these things are very much inborn in every human being. Our birth is because of love and charity, helping others. Oh, little baby also, if you give a doll whose hand is broken, baby will do something to see that hand is stuck and help, and doll is looked after well. We are not teaching baby, but she would start doing it right from the beginning. This is very natural in us. But as we grow, our ego goes high and this naturalness goes away. Then me, my opinion, my likes, dislikes, I hate this, I love that, all such I starts. But then when we are with others, it should be we. We should be doing this. And so I has to be kept at its own place. It's not that everything totally will go on, but it has its own limitation. So this is how we are supposed to live our life. Now, it is noticed that whenever you have to live with anybody, you have to be not helping him to improve. You have to first accept that person as he or she is completely. We have to accept child as a child and then not expect child to behave like elder person. Sit quietly. Come on. Don't shake. Come on. Do this lesson. We order as if child is our bonded labor. We just don't understand that child has lots of energy. Bumping here and there, child is not going to sit at one place. Child will pick up this, break this, make this. So we should be that much understanding and maintain our level-headedness, maintain our steadiness, which we lose as a grown-up because we expect child to behave like, or elderly people as the seniors, they forget things. And then we so many times repeat, but they say, no, you have not done it. Have you eaten food? No. Where have you given me food? So elders also talk like that because their present memory is gone. Their past memory remains with them. But present is gone. Right now, this time, what is required? They have no idea. So again, you have to maintain your balance all the time. With husband and wife, with family, again, you have to see that you accept them, you love them, you care for them as they are. Don't try to change them. You will be miserable. You will make them miserable. So this is the first lesson. And then how together we grow is, of course, it's beautiful when the family is together, when eats together, sings together, prays together. All this helps to share things. And things, life becomes very beautiful if it is lived like this. And so I believe that for greater experience, person should not leave and go away. Mahavira, Buddha, all these people, they, after they reached the highest state, they were back to the society to take their positives and negatives from the societies, to spread the message. They were not just living alone, recluse, to help them, their own selves to reach to the salvation. You will reach to the salvation in the midst of the people around, doing all good things around. So that is householders' development. And so we follow these things.
That's beautiful. I mean, what I hear you say is, in some sense, a sort of a detachment.
Yes, totally, totally.
And in a way that being in the society or being in a family provides that atmosphere for you to test all that you are learning in yoga. Otherwise, it can become like an echo chamber. And you are doing all this and you may become like selfish, maybe for just for your own journey. So, I mean, I'm sure like in your life, as you entered this household as a young mid-20 something.
25.
And there were these people were stalwarts in their own right, right?
Your father-in-law. In my family. Founder, mother, doctor.
So could you share, so I have two questions there. One is that from this illustrious family, you had a sort of a first row view, you know, you were sitting there right in the middle. And there might be some stories or anecdotes which are maybe very small, not mega, but very small, but you noticed. And if you would like to share that, that is one question. And it would be great if you could share for each of the three people in your family. Another question is that on a slightly, you know, a different, in contrast to this question, is that since these people were celebrities in their own right, and you were a newbie, you know, someone who was barely into mid-20s, did you feel in a way a bit lost in the shine of all these gigantic personalities? And how did you, as a 25-year-old who made this choice on your own, right? I mean, your family, So I wanted both these, you know, as to how did you absorb their wisdom and their inspiration at the same time, continue to shine and light on your own path.
First of all, I'll give you little details about our stalwarts. The first founder, Sri Yogendraji, he was a great personality. He was a person who was very, very clear how to go about with the institute. Family, yes. So he was himself a householder. And as a normal family's growth, this family was also growing. They had two boys and they were growing as every family has its own situation. But a founder for the Yoga Institute, for yoga, he was very, very clear that number one, yoga for householders. Number two, that institute has to be non-profit organization. Number three, no religion at all in the institute. So in the institute, you will never find any statues of gods and goddesses or people doing worshiping and praying to gods. All that atmosphere is not at all accepted. Institute is a place of education. Institute is a place of experience. Institute is a place of self-development to the highest level. And here is an institute where gurus are also staying with students in the same area and always giving a helping hand to anybody, everybody who comes to the institute for the help. So people don't come to yoga just like that to learn the subject. People come because they have some or other problem. Earlier, it was like that. Now it is different. Now they want to become a yoga teacher to spread yoga and earn also from yoga. The world has changed. But at that time, so founder was very clear about all these things. Second, he was very, very perfectionist. Our book was printed, Examiner Press, and the printing was done there. Mrs. Desai would go there, sit there, get the printing done. All this was going on. And the book was ready. When book came, founder went through. Founder saw one comma missing in one sentence. Just imagine, Rahul, just a comma missing. Whole book is ready. And founder pointed out to them that this comma is missing here. I don't like it. Why this mistake should be there? And out. So that the book was taken back by Examiner Press people. And they again reprinted the book with that comma on. So can you imagine that perfection? His English was so good. His every sentence he would be seeing so perfectly, full stop. And so that was founder's personality. And at that time when my child was born, Patanjali was born, he used to dance and sing with my child. He, me, and Patanjali, we three of us would be dancing. Hey, you know, sort of a stuff. Vaishnava jana to. It would be so interesting. I knew Gujarati well, so I would conversate with founder very well. And we both used to gel very well. And I would always argue also with him. Why in Talasan the number is 242? What we are going to do with that? Because in 2 seconds, I can't take a full breath. So founder would explain that yes, in that case, you can make it 363 or 484. That's no problem. But there has to be proper breathing rhythm along with body movements. Neuromuscular coordination should go along with it. And so he would explain. So it was a great time, but founder's personality was this. And he would get angry on certain things. But next moment you go to him and his anger is not there. He's a normal person. You know, mastery over emotion. He can't shout at somebody and then you are afraid, Baba, he is angry right now, don't go. But when I would go and talk something simple, he would be very laughing and talking nicely. And even with that person who is feeling very sorry, he would come, okay, be careful, do it next time. So he was so caring. And so that was founder. Mother was a personality who was so perfect in her health management. Little sneezing and she would start. She would just see that the water is boiled with ginger, lemongrass, and then she would eat khajur, dates and all that. She would see to it that she drinks little water, warm water 2-3 times in a day. Little gas, she would use hot water bag, lie down on stomach. She would hate if somebody says that I'm sick. She says you should be ashamed. What do you mean sick? Some people, ladies come obese, excess weight. She would look at them and say, you ladies, how much food you are eating all the time and not moving around. What is this? This is how mother was. Health was so much taken positively. And that was the atmosphere in our house also. They will not tolerate sickness at all. Sickness has to be just thrown out. If you are sick, you should be ashamed of it. So that approach was from mother's side and it was great. And then the third, Dr. Jayadev. Dr. Jayadev was a totally recluse personality, not at all in the materialistic level. clothes also, he would just put it, his attention is not there. Sometimes clothes are upside down. I'll see, change it. So he will change it. To that extent, he was totally unaware about what he's putting. Food, very simple food habits, very simple. Whatever is there, he would just take little and get up. We would say, finish everything. No, he would just eat that much and get up. Person with very few words, hardly. But yes, if it comes to when both of us would sit, of course, we would be discussing quite a lot. Both of us read certain textbooks together, entire Ayurveda books together. We read certain medical books, we read together. When I said, please, we should have one child at least. We should experience parenthood. And Dr. Jayadev said, if God wishes, it would happen. I said, no, God doesn't come. We have to do some activities, action to have a baby. I'm telling you, that was Dr. Jayadev. Just to tell you that he was, and then lucky it was the child. And with child, we studied lots of pregnancy, how to go about natural way, how to upbring child, and so on and so forth. So it was quite a thing. And here, Mr. and Mrs. Desai, they were very much pillar of the institute. They would also start with so many games for children, so many activities for children. And they were expert in seeing that children are being taught right values. Children are taught how they should be helping others, how they should be self-reliant to take care of themselves, and so many such nice things. So institute was growing. Institute, family, I can't separate it. It was all growing together. And Dr. Jayadev was had contributed. He was a scholarly person, very much introverted, lots of knowledge, great Sanskrit, and a personality who would be happy alone. I mean, he would be alone himself. But when it comes to work, he would be also perfectionist, like his father. Very much work has to be done. He would go into the detail of work and do. We had exhibition, the way in which Dr. Jayadev planned. Nobody can plan like that. From where people will come, how they would walk, which stall should be first, which another, where children's section should be, where the other yoga technology section would be, where the medical section would be. He would plan everything, how people can go. They would be thirsty, they would be hungry, they should go here. So on and so forth. He would care so much for anybody and everybody who comes here. He could do that. And this is how we would. He would always carry a little cough pill in his pocket. So since he would be talking less, both of us would go to give lecture. He would be talking sutra language, one or two lines or five lines or maximum 10 lines. I have to give the commentary. So I have to talk long. To explain what he talked or to explain that sutra by itself. So I had to talk long. So he would always carry pill like this. I would cough. Then he would quietly give me a pill so that I have little lubrication in my throat and I would talk. So this is how we both together used to do all the activities. And we knew that every moment both of us have lived life with purpose, and so I'm very happy about it. He is not there physically now, but he is there. We always feel that physically person goes away. Death has to be accepted just like that, and you have to move ahead in life, carrying on the essence. Essence is there with you, and everything is there with you, so you carry on. That's it, Rahul.
This is great, and
Your second question, I have not answered that I came into the family and I was totally different than them. But I felt everyone, all three of them, I had decided that since they all have lived their life, I would not impose my ideas on them at all. My modern ideas, I believed in proper nutrition, vegetable has to be first washed well and then cut. See that the food is totally balanced. I believe that if you are wearing clothes, you should wear clothes properly. And you should be, whatever you are doing, you should be doing happily and correctly. So I was externally also keeping myself very pleasantable, good. This I would not call myself highly fashionable, but I would definitely be coping up with modern people as well as old as well as young very well. So my ideas were different. My education was different, and so on. Of course, yoga was there right from childhood, as my father also was imposing asanas, pranayam, meditation and all. Here I decided that I would just listen and not say anything. So it would be my training. I would first understand all three of them, what they are. And so if mother says, come, so I'll go there. If our founder calls me, come there. What are you doing? Whatever you tell me. And so this was my first period, first phase of my life. I would wash vessels, and then mother would say, it's not washed well. Now I think it is washed well, but she says it's not washed well. So I'll again take and wash. Then my husband would tell me, I said that, what is this? So husband would tell me that, well, happily do whatever you are doing. Let's do it happily. That, where is the problem? Because the soap was not so good. Soap was very rough. So I would feel that some best soap should be brought. Best liquid should be brought. They had no money. There was a very situation was. So here everything was not to the best. It was quite common. And so my hands would become rough. My skin would tear because there was no nice soap. Your body is not used to it. But then my husband would say, don't look at that. I'm also washing with the same. My skin is not getting torn. Why is your skin getting rough? Said, the point is clear. So my mind was judging that this is not right. That is not right. So my body also was reacting. So I decided, no. Now just accept everything. Everything is good and beautiful. So when you train your mind, everything settles down. So I can always tell everybody that person should learn how to tolerate. Tolerance have to go to the height, not demand, judge, this is right, that is right. Just flow with situation. Just see to it that if elders are there, first to listen to them and be with them, get all the knowledge from them. And then once you start living your life, in sense, once you are more later on handling the situation, then you think what you think, right? It is not that your personality would finish if you listen to somebody, not at all. You will grow with your, you know, knowledge. So with that understanding, I didn't feel that I'm out. I felt that I'm helpful to everybody around. And that's just how we learned. And then I saw Mrs. Desai, helpful around. So this is how, when you do the life, we start growing with situation. We don't lose our own entity. Rather, we grow.
Yeah, so there is a follow-on question. Was that you explained in the story of Yogendra ji, you know, about being perfectionist. And at the same time, you know, when you were talking about yoga being relevant in Grihastha Ashram, you were talking about acceptance. In yes. fact, in your own example, you spoke about that. Now, when, you know, an ordinary person goes through life, he's always confused where to press the button and, you know, in a way, emphasize their choice, to surrender and let go.
I know. This is a very intelligent question, let me tell you. And every time there is this is a dilemma. How much to adjust, where to put stop to whole thing, and so on. See, as far as material perfection is concerned, can't be so perfect. What you do, you should be doing it well with happy state of mind and all. But opposite person may not be coming to your level. Opposite person has his own way of living. So you have to accept people as they are, whosoever they are, opposite. They have to be accepted as they are. And imposing your ideas on others should never be there. You have to have patience that other person will grow, will understand you. Till then, you carry on with your job. You become a model yourself. I believe that I should wear proper clothes. Then I should see that I do it. What others are doing is their lookout. So somewhere, learning to be a little detached, learning to accept things as they are, and learning to appreciate everybody who is around me as they are. They all must be having some good qualities in them, not just quality which is not right according to me. So you have to learn to see good in every situation in life, every situation in life. And I'm sure then you'll be able to live happily. Otherwise, it would be always a miserable state. So I would say that, yes, you have to adjust. Some food is given to you. Now, I don't like this, I don't like that. Instead of that, take the food, accept this is the food now. So you make that food tasty, put little, squeeze little lemon, put little sugar here and there, make it tasty and eat it. Mm-hmm. Where is the problem? We have to adjust. And so such adjustment has to be there in life where it comes to all that. Yeah, founder lived at his own level where one comma made him to write the book again. I would not do that. I would accept. Well, mistakes do occur. But then we should be careful. When we start accepting that the standard goes down, what founder had the standard? So there has to be some clarity where to accept, where not. So it comes to value system, how I should value. For printing new book, I would value that so much paper would go waste. Again, so much of effort would go waste. So I would say, come on, accept. But when it comes to something else, speaking lies to get the things done, or hurting somebody or putting somebody down, so put yourself up, all that would not be accepted at all. So we have to be clear about how do we go about in life.
Well, that's interesting. And the way you put it, that it's a constant balancing and constant test of equanimity that life throws at all of us. And I believe the ultimate test of whether we are living well or not is how do we absorb, you mentioned, you know, Dr. Jaydev's passing away. So the death of our near ones, and even in preparation for our own death, like, for example, COVID has made it very clear that, you know, there is no certainty. So how does one is not just Dr. Jaydev's death, but, you know, if you're comfortable
Dr. Jaydev at least went through his whole life and he himself decided that now I want to leave my body. As founder also decided, now body is getting weak and I want to leave. That is a very different thing. That has to be accepted. But when some young person dies, when he's very much, that to accept becomes difficult. But understand the philosophy. If person has read the philosophy well and person has imbibed that, which I had into my system. When it comes to death, you have to accept within half a minute. You cannot say that I feel sad and upset about it, because birth and death, not in our hand somehow. Birth, to still you know that a child is going to come. But death is totally uncertain. Everybody, Yoga Sutra says, everybody who is born, his time of death is fixed with which he is born. So when this is the sutra, it's clear that my son Patanjali's time had come, and so he went. And you have to just accept and move ahead in life. So he went away, but there are many children, many sons who need my help. And so I started, we had no holiday in the institute. The moment the message came to me that he left us no more from the hospital, I just told the doctor, sent the message that whatever you can take out from his body, please take it out, because now body is useless. So his eyes and kidney and liver, he was healthy, his skin was healthy, everything was healthy. Whatever you can do that, you do quickly. And let's move. We'll come and sign all the papers, our approval and so on. So that was the first thing. I told my husband that our son has gone, now gone. So husband also said he was there. He said that, well, whatever you can do with his body, do it. And that's nothing else. No expression or nothing. Just accept. Tell yourself that, fine, now a new journey starts, a new life starts without him. And then this was. So I tell you, yoga really helps, because in yoga, we talk about niyamas, timetable. You keep a timetable, you know, and what you are going to do, which hour, you know it. So now, just because death has occurred, you don't do those things, would be wrong. So we started next day our lectures were there. I went and gave the lecture. Doctor also went and gave his lecture. And we continued our same duty. If I can do, I'm sure all of you can also do. It's a question of clarity in mind, that instead of mourning, sitting and people coming and solacing you, oh, poor thing, you lost your son, the only son. Makes no sense. There is so much of pain in the world. Why add more pain into the world? Add only joy and faith and positivity. I believe that 100%. Why add anger to the world? A world is full of that emotion. We should spread only these things, peace, happiness, joy. And so we believe, let it be death or birth in your life, you carry on. So that's very strong thought in my mind. And I could do it. I had seen so many deaths. My father-in-law died, Sri Yogendraji, mother died, Dr. Jaydev died, my father died, my two brothers died, and many such close people of the institute, somebody died. And from majority of the people, I have gone with them to the cremation ground myself. When you go to cremation ground, you become really detached. Smashan Vairagya come. That gives strong emphasis in your mind that, well, this is life. See life and come on now, live. What is required? Do it. So death teaches you a lot. Death makes you stronger a lot. If you remain strong, if you break down, then that brings depression. Now.
Yes. So this is very lovely. And I think Rohini has also reminded me of limited time that we have with you. So probably as one of the last questions before we part with a minute of silence, a question to you would be that, of course, death is kind of an ultimate test. And it was such a moving account what you shared, yes, for all of us to carry home. Has there been any point in time in your life that your values that you held close to you were challenged and it kind of disturbed you? And how was it, could you share that if that happened, and how was it that you came out of it? And in the context, I would also add that one of our themes was sometime like you as well as your mother-in-law both were women practitioners of yoga, and you continue to remain one of the very few women leaders practicing yoga in a rather not just yoga but otherwise a men dominated world. So do you feel sometimes the challenge of being a woman, and I would club both these together, some difficult time in your life where your values were challenged, and probably this question on being a woman?
When it comes to material things, values sometimes are challenged. Like you want to do something, wanted to construct another house, and in municipality, the file doesn't move from one place to another unless you bribe them. Now that creates a very big problem. That means either you have to bribe, which is absolutely against our value, or don't construct. Don't just stay as you are. So somewhere in such time, the value was challenged. And then I told that this language of bribing, getting the work done, we don't know. We just cannot do it. Our subconscious doesn't accept it. So then the only alternative may be that you start giving the job to that person who knows. So you give your frame and format and tell that constructor, contractor, that this is what we want to get it done, and you get it done. So that we don't get into the intricacies of where to give this and that and so on. Such times, or in today's modern time, we believe that yoga should never be taught at the level of doing your asanas and Surya Namaskar and standing on head and all that. It was absolutely, according to us, bringing yoga into minuscule level. Yoga is a vast thing. male psychology and philosophy. So here, and then those people would call me, and then they would tell me that, come on, we are doing competition of yoga and you have to be the chief guest. I would say, no, I don't believe in competition of yoga and I'm not going to do that. I would not cooperate. Now also so many people want me to go here and there, because what they will do under the name of yoga is only showing the asana demonstration. And that's what the yoga means. I would not go. It is challenged. Sometimes they may be feeling that Hansaji is very proud or whatever it is, or institute is not cooperating, but we don't mind, because we make it very much clear right from the beginning that yoga has nothing to do with competition. Every human is potentially divine. Every human has a capacity to grow in their way. How could you compete? Two humans are two different personalities. How could you compare and compete? This is a wrong approach to life. And so I would never ever cooperate with these people. And very often to go to such conferences and all that, when they invite, blankly say, no, I will not come. So that's how we sometimes manage. In today, though, lots of such compromises have to take place. The people who are hardly knowing yoga, they know how to marketize, and they are minting money. They are going ahead in life. They have lots of land of their yoga, and it's going on. But the only policy we adopt now is live and let live policy, what Mahavir taught. Mahavir, jio or jine do, live and let live. Let them do what they want to do. You should carry on with what you believe it, right? And that's it. If people listen, fine. If they approve, fine. Don't approve, fine. Nothing. We should not bother about it. So this is how we go about.
That's so beautiful, Hansaji. Yeah. I won't take more time. It's 11:17, 2 minutes over the time that we asked from you.
Yes.
I'm just reminded from this joyful conversation we had this morning with you of a couplet by Majru Sultanpuri, where he says, Main akela hi chala tha, jaane be manzil magar, log samate gaye aur karwa
banta gaya. Very correct. Very.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, despite your, you know, bad.
It was very nice being with you all, such a lovely children, and all my love and blessings to you all. Yes,
I
Rachel.
Really thank, Rachel, of course, but Mrs. D also, and Rohini,
Mrs.
for
D.
connecting us.
Yes.
And as we part, I would just like to slip into a minute of silence, and then we can close the call. Thank you so much, Hansaji, to take out time. Wishes for the International Yoga Day, which is upcoming.
Thank you.
Just a minute of silence and then you can log off, Hansaji.
Thank you for listening to a recording of Awaken Calls. To access archives, visit us at www.awaken.org. And to get more involved, volunteer at www.servicespace.org.